So we're learning Chovos HaLevavos, and we're in the second part of like a two-part series, but I think it's important to hear this today's shiur. It's structured a bit differently than the way that we often structure things. It's organized a little bit differently than the way we often organize things. We spoke last week about anava, about humility. We tried to highlight last week three different mehalchim in the world of humility. What we were terming the Adam La'atzma, Adam L'chaveru, and Adam L'makom. The Tomer Devorah, a very intense take on anava, that you are ayin ve'efes, that you're really nothing at all. Just inherently, you're not worth anything. And that's one form of anava, which is a very intense form of anava. We saw that in Chovos HaLevavos and Igeres HaRamban, you have a different approach, which is more about me and my interactions with others, being able to appreciate what they offer. Being able to be humble enough to learn from others, whether you are more intelligent or less intelligent, more successful or less successful, more gifted and talented or less gifted and talented, but cultivating the capacity to learn properly from others. That was the Chovos HaLevavos and a Ramban al Torah, and a Ramban, sorry, and a Geres Ramban. And the Chovos HaLevavos with an additional Mahalach, which is one of the ways that a person cultivates a degree of Anava, is by appreciating the fact that even if I do have a decent amount, you know, as far as what I really owe the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm really not doing as well as I could. We spoke about, you know, it's one thing to bat, you know, 300 in Major League Baseball and to become a Hall of Famer, but the Ribbono Shel Olam demands that we bat 1,000. And therefore, there's an element of anava which stems from the recognition that I'm not really doing all that I really could. I want to highlight today, if last time was about sort of anava and at times understanding the limits of our value, to emphasize the opposite today. We're going to do so really in developing just one mahalach. Often in shiurim, it's about two or three mahalachim. We're developing one mahalach. We're going to do it in different layers. We're going to do it in different ways. We're going to formulate it with different kinds of Torah. And we're going to try in the best way possible to be able to develop it, I think, in a way which makes sense. I want to begin by just framing the issue a little bit. Rabbi Nebachya and Chovos HaLevavos, in the Psichel, Shar Kniya, Rabbi Nebachya writes that there is no stira whatsoever. This we're going to try to develop in a very powerful way. But there's no stira whatsoever between being an anav and recognizing a person's talents and abilities. That a person can be aware of their talents and abilities. Adarabba, a person, as we'll elaborate on in a bit, needs to be aware and maybe is even chayav to be aware of his own talents and abilities. What can you accomplish? What are the skills that you have? How can you really maximize them in ways that are worthwhile? What we're going to do is do that in multiple layers. We first want to prove that it's true, that that is appropriate, and that it is something which a person should do. We want to define in light of that in a more accurate way what anava is really all about. We want to understand where does our self-worth actually come from. If I'm supposed to have that hargasha of, I'm a person who can contribute, I'm a person who feels better about myself, so what generates that feeling? What's the source of that feeling? And finally, to appreciate well how a person, what things a person could do to help better engender that feeling, to make sure that we do appreciate the values and really what we bring to the table. There are elements of what we're speaking about today that to speak about well would require a real background in psychology. I don't have a real background in psychology. An undergraduate degree in psychology, I am positive, does not qualify you to be a psychologist. It only qualifies you to once in a while make a random reference, something that you learned about 18 years ago. That is the extent of my background knowledge. There are about four things I reference that I remember from, maybe we're approaching five. But there are elements to really speak about it well, and people who really suffer from like a real sort of like struggle cultivating healthy self-esteem that requires, I would imagine, a degree of expertise that I am positive I don't have. But we'll try to, based on a variety of makoros, at least highlight and try to develop some ideas. Let's first go and explore some makoros about the need to recognize one's self-worth and one's value. The Mishnah Hedron Daf Lama Zayin, a very famous Mishnah, L'fikach Anivra Adam Yechidi, man is created alone, Adam HaRishon is created just Adam HaRishon, and because man's created alone, that conveys to us an important message. It conveys to us, man's created, not like animals, with a group of animals, but one single human's created, to convey to us the value of each and every single human. If you kill a person, as if you destroyed the entire world, because the world could be created just for the value of one person. And if you save a person's life, so that gives you the ability, one person, you were Mekayim Olam Malay. Now, says the Mishnah, as it goes on to say, Lefichach, in light of all this idea, that Gosh Baruch Hu, unlike with animals, each person's unique and each person is special. Each person's unique. Lefichach, kol echad ve'echad, chayav lomar, bishvili nivra ha'olam. Each person becomes obligated to say, it's ki'ilu the world is created, it's ki'ilu the world is created for me. Now that presumably is not a formal halachic statement, chayav adam lomar. I don't think it's in the back of the sitter, much as I'm not familiar with the back of the sitter, just enough familiar with it. But I don't think around the Yigamli Karam and the Zechiros and all those things is a big line that says, chayav adam lomar, bishvili nivra ha'olam. Nevertheless, undoubtedly the formulation, strong as it is there to orient us in a certain sense. That a person has to believe, and the formulation in the Mishnah is that we are all created with a little bit of a unique style. Each of us is different than someone else. We have our own talents and abilities. Also, we have, as we spoke about yesterday, we also have our own strengths and weaknesses and our own experiences. I experience things in a way which is different than you. I have my life and you have your life. And because each person is an olam mala, each person experiences things in their unique way, has their unique skill sets. That's why you have to have the attitude. Says the Mishnah, Bishvili Nivra Olam, you are a unique and integral part of this world. You are a fundamental part of what we're trying to accomplish. Says Rashi there in describing that Mishnah, Bishvili Nivra Olam, Kilomar Chashiv Ani Ka'olam Male. A person has to articulate to himself that he is valuable like an Olam Male. Lo Atis Adim Olam Ba'Aveira Achav Im Sochimena, and therefore I can't mess up because like I really matter. I can't mess up because I really matter. The sense of responsibility, which is overwhelming at times. If you look in Das Tvunos of the Ramchal there, number 4, articulates that very, very powerfully. That there is a certain sense, a certain feeling of avoda, which requires me, and only me, that there are certain things I can accomplish, not only for me individually, but for the world as a whole. And I have to cultivate a feeling, says the Mishnah, of chashiv ani ba'olam, Chashiv ani ka'olam malei. That I really matter. I really matter. I always think about this in the context of my family's move. We moved when I was in elementary school. We were living in Connecticut, Fairfield, Connecticut at the time. The Minyan at the morning, not the time, the Minyan in the morning had about 12 people at the Minyan. There are communities like that. I remember one of the shuls there, there were a couple shuls there, I don't know, two or so, each one had like 10 people. One of these situations which like really came up, these it's not even a shiloh, it's just, it is. That, you know, number 10 is there for a while and you're really excited about it. And like a month and a half to number 10, the unaffiliated Jew that came into the Darby Minyan, to tell you that he's actually not Jewish at all, he's just exploring his, you know, exploring other religions. And you're like, that was our Minyan, you know? Okay, it's not as bad as the Shiloh from last night about like, you realize that the mikvah for the last 40 years has been puzzle. This is a, okay, so new, we said some things, and I'm mainly soma, you know, or things like that. It's not what you're aiming for. But what happens is that when you move sometimes from a place like that, so we moved to New Rochelle, Rochelle, there's a couple minyanim every morning, and there's lots of people at shul. And if you live in Yudavina, the young Yisrael of Woodmere, and there's so many minyanim every, I don't know, 15 minutes, there's a new ma'ariv minyan. Sometimes there can be a lack of appreciation for the fact that bishvili nivra ha'olam, like you really, really matter. When the minyan is necessary for you, you realize that you really matter. You realize that you really matter. And people are relying on you. You realize that you really matter. And part of what the mission is telling us is to appreciate the fact that we do play a significant role. And that's something which the Ramchal develops also, Mesil Sharm, Barak Kitas. If you look there, the Ramchal also speaks about a little bit as far as a person shouldn't say, me on the imani, you know, why should I daven for Yerushalayim? Like, who cares? What's my tefillah going to do? No, but it's really never olam. What you do matters. What you do matters. And that's the first step of a Maimar Chazal, which is fairly explicit. None of this shiftless akadei kach, that you're nothingness, none of this last week who's lying on the boat and someone's going to the bathroom on him and gevalt, now I feel like the happiest day of my life. No. Bishvili nivra olam, you actually matter. That leads us to a second and very famous mar makom. It's an amazing gemara. It's an amazing gemara also because of the extent to which mefarshim get creative to explain it, because the gemara is just so odd to really appreciate. The gemara and the mesachasota. Mishmeis Rebbe, says the Gemara, Rebbe passed away, batla anava v'yiras chet. Rebbe passes away and there's no longer anava, no longer humility, and no longer yiras chet. Amar le Rav Yosef, who doesn't love this line? Not true. Lo lisni anava de'ika ana. I got it. I am the anav. We have not lost anava from here at all. Amar le Rav Nachman, no. Lo lisni yiras chet de'ika ana. But one thing to say that you have yiras chet, okay, even that we would say is like a little bit gaivadik, but to claim the anava card is like, no, guys, hello, I'm here, I'm all good. De'ika ana, I'm entirely good to go. The Mefarshim, understandably, are indescribably bothered by that formulation. That's not how we speak ever, especially when we are claiming that we are the anavs. Yeah, don't worry, everyone. If you want to know how to be an anav, like, observe me. I got it. Like, I'm the model of humility. You know, like, you hear lines like that in general, it's supposed to trigger something. You know, like one of those, like, okay, I know one thing about this guy, and it is that he is not humble. You know, that's like, that's your one takeaway. So what's pshat in this Gemara? So there are a lot of pshatim that are, I wouldn't even say pshat, a lot of interpretations, some of which we'd find not as compelling, but we appreciate where they're coming from as far as trying to justify something. So they quote from the Gra like an amazing pshat. The Gra says, you know, there's a comment, Talmud Yerushalmi, there's an Amora whose name was Anna. And that has to be the pshat. Yosef is saying, no, don't say Anav, because Anna is still around. Like, that guy is still around. Like, he's the Anav. Not Anna, but like Anna, that guy, he's the one that's around. That's one pshat. I wanted to see a Ben Yehoyada. I saw one quoted last night. But it's a very important paper, Sonagat, in general. And I didn't have one at home. I don't own one. I can find one online, mostly because I didn't actually look. It was really late. But I came in this morning to shul, and Baruch Hashem, there was someone davening in my seat. So I had to find another place to daven. So I went to one place, and it didn't feel right. Second place, it didn't feel right. Third place, it finally felt like it felt right. And I was sitting there. I look up, and there's a Ben Yehoyada on Sota. Why? Because Ribono Sholem really wanted me to find this Ben Yehoyada. So Ben Yehoyada has like an amazing pshat. I happen to find it really like, it's like so intriguing. I can't say it's pshat, but he says, no, you know, Rav Yosef was like really humble. And people all the time were telling him that he was humble, and he found it annoying. That, like, Yosef was like, everyone's like, Yosef is so humble, it's so impressive. So he figured, like, I have my way out of people, which is just to claim that I'm a big Anav. So he's like, no, Ikana, I'm the Anav. And hopefully, like, then they'll at least stop, like, talking about me that way. Rav Moshe is a true Negros Moshe where he, it's just an amazing insight that Rav Moshe has of a very similar nature. Rav Moshe writes that, you know, the Gemara says in Baba Basra, that if you have a chol of b'soch beso, you should go to a chacham l'espalo. Go to a chacham to daven. So the Meiri writes that you should go to the Chacham who will teach you how to daven. But the simple pshat is that you go to a Chacham who's going to daven for you. So Rav Moshe says, people come to me all the time. There's a shaila about this. People come to me and they ask me, can I daven for you? Chacham, you know, whatever it is. So Rav Moshe's like, I'm sort of stuck right now. It's an amazing, like, it's so like, the self-reflection is amazing. Rav Moshe says, well, if I tell him, like, sure, I'll daven for you, then I'm the Baal Gaiva who says that I'm the Chacham. If I tell him, no, I'm not a Chacham, then they say, wow, you're also none of. So what am I going to do? So Rav Moshe is like, I really just daven. If you ask me, I just daven because it's just the simplest way to go. And like anyone that davens, it probably counts anyway. And like, you know, it is what it is. But there's something about that that's been of what we're trying to do. This Fas MS and some others have a bit of a different pshat. We'll say that like a bit of a different way. Again, some of the mefarshim there, which is that, you know, not Fas MS, what's some others, but I think that the could be that the Chidah and Maris Ayin has a pshat, which was, he was really just nervous of something. What would be more, imagine if we got up right now and the Musar Shmuz was, you know, a person gets up and he says, there is no more Talmud Torah in the world nowadays. Nowadays, no one learns Torah anymore. So imagine that you're sitting in the crowd and you hear that statement. What is the reaction that you have when you hear that statement? It is, okay, I'm out. If there's no learning anyway, so then why is it even worth it to try to strive for it? You know, it's like you were commenting, posting that, like, we don't have kavanah nowadays in davening. And you're like, correct. And thank you, because now we have, you know, established the fact firmly that I will never have kavanah because, like, there's no kavanah nowadays. So, like, you know, it is what it is. Like, I all the power to you, you know? So some of the mefarshim say that Rav Yosef was saying, like, okay, I know this is really awkward, and honestly, I'm not even sure I'm really an anav. But like, I gotta say that like there is anava out there, and Reb Nachman said, I have to say there's Yerushalayim, because imagine if you were told, like, by the way, everyone, there's just no Yerushalayim anymore. Like, no one has Yerushalayim anymore. So like, we're entirely good to go. So if you hear that approach, like, what is that? What toll does that take on you? Of like, not bad. There's no Yerushalayim anymore. Like, I was debating whether I was going to eat a nakush of food or not, but now I know that, like, I don't have Yerushalayim anyway, so, like, Mustamal's end up eating it. Like, that. So we have to think, no, there is Yerushalayim, and there is Yerushalayim, and there is Anava. There is, however, a more standard pshat, based on the comment of Rabbi Nebach and Chobos Halavavos, the comment we quoted earlier. It's a Shlaha Kadosh and Parsh Zekev. I think it's actually probably the most pshat-based. I can't say the Gra is wrong, that he wasn't referring to Anna in the Talmud Yerushalmi. I can say if I was wagering money, I'm not sure it's on that particular pshat. The others I find to be really enjoyable, thought-provoking, and intriguing, but I can't say if I'm reading the Gemara, I think it's what Rav Yosef really meant. It sounds like he meant Ika Anna, Anna in general. If you would open up a Jastro and you would see what the word Anna means, it doesn't mean name of an Amora found in, you know, wherever, which you would find in the word, you know, with Nachman, you know, maybe name of an Amora. So what does the Shlah say? The Shlah says something which I think is somewhat, it's on this sheet, I'm sorry, that's what was happening with my computer last night with the Barilan, but the Shlah says that the very simple pshat, Rav Yosef was an Anav. Rav Yosef was an Anav. Chayv Adam Lomar B'Shvil Nivra HaOlam. He was an Anav. He actually recognized his capacity and his abilities. He thought he had an accurate read on self. And that's called Anava. Shiflus is when it's too low. Shiflus is that you treat yourself like you're nothing. That's not good. Gaiva is when you have an inflated sense of self. Yosef thought, you know what? I'm a pretty, like, I think I'm a reasonable person, and I really think I understand what my strengths are, what my weaknesses are. I think I know my skill set. So I could say, like, no, Ika Ana, like, I think I have a good read of self. Anava, in that sense, is about understanding well your skill set, understanding that you matter. If you are a real Ana, Rav Yosef is teaching us, you can identify as such. Now, whether socially you want that to be your, like, you know, WhatsApp status, you know, like, me, the Anav, you know, I think you probably have, like, a, you know, Rav Yosef had, as we pointed out, Chazal, Gemara, and Horios and the like, Rav Yosef was a person that was not running after kavod, running after honor, but he knew who he was. He knew he was good in learning. He knew he was a Talmid Chacham. He knew what he wasn't also. He knew what he wasn't also. And that's what he was, and that's fine. And that's very, very holy. And that's a level of, and many point out, that's Pshat and Moshe Rabbeinu also. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Anav Mikol Adam. Moshe undoubtedly does things that a classic Anav would probably not be able to do. Moshe, first of all, to believe he's nothing would require a level of delusion that is just unfathomable. He was up, I don't know what happened the 40 days up in Maimon Har Sinai. We know there was not a lot of food or drink. You know, we know that wasn't happening. We know that he came down and, like, his face is shining. His face is shining. Today's Daf Yomi. His face is shining when he comes down. We know that Moshe is aware of the fact that Hashem talks to him, panim upon him, Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. I didn't speak Davin to Yaakov like this, Moshe. This is you. And he is, like, he's writing down Chumash. Like, there's a lot of good things about Moshe there as far as, like, things he does. It's hard to believe that Moshe thinks that he's mamish, nothing at all. Says in Etziv, in Hamek Davar, he says, I don't get it. Like, Moshe was comfortable, like, writing down East Moshe Anav Mikol Adam, because he knew Mishum Dizno Gela Ikra Torah Das Koach Ma'alas Shalom Moshe Shulam Al Mikol Nevush VeOlam Umashmos Anavush Einu Choshes Lachvod VeTzaro. Anav means, like, it's like you know who you are, but you don't care about it. It's not a bad or am I getting kavod or not getting kavod. Moshe was an Anav. He didn't care. He wasn't mocked. But, like, did they walk up and they stand up for me when I walk in the room or not stand up for me when I walk in the room? That wasn't Moshe's cheshbon. Moshe was Moshe. But Moshe could identify, despite being a person of a certain madriga, you know, Moshe was able to do so. So essentially, we've developed one mahalach, although with a bunch of different, like, you know, takes in the Gemara and Sota, which is a person's capacity to appreciate and articulate their own sense of self-worth and who they really are, and what they really are, and to be able to view that in a very, very powerful way. And another means recognizing strengths, but requires recognizing strengths. What's the fallout of not having this? What's the fallout of not recognizing one's strengths? So there are two real fallouts. One of them is fairly clear, which, again, I think is the most powerful way. Rav Wolbe quotes it, Nale Shor. I think he quotes lines like this often from Rav Yerucham, the Mir Mashkiach, that, you know, nothing has engendered mediocrity like a lack of self-confidence. If you believe that you can't do that much, here's a shocker, you won't do that much. If you believe that your davening doesn't really matter, well, then guess what? Your davening really won't matter. If you don't believe that what you do matters, so it's not going to have that much significance at all, and therefore it's important to appreciate it so that we can do more things. That's what Rashi writes there in Sanhedrin, to appreciate the fact that that one Avera, I'm not going to waste my time with this stuff because of who I really am. That's one of it. And sometimes we know it can really just emotionally take a toll on a person. There's a limit. It's hard to feel bad. A person, Mashal Lema Hadavar Domeh, talking to someone recently about this. You know, it's like if you, it's true in a job, it's true in a marriage, it's true with a chavrusa, but like the context of a marriage, because the example, I think, is more powerful there. You have a husband who's really trying his best, he's just not getting the job done. He's not getting the job done. There's so much to do. He has a job, he has children, he's trying to take care of them. As a husband, like, there are things that fall through the cracks, he's not doing that good of a job. And his wife lets him know that sometimes, you know. I think one of your responsibilities, we spoke about dividing the responsibilities, is to wash the dishes, responsible, take out the garbage here and there, to do this and that. And the responsibilities that every marriage has a marriage contract. It's not always articulated and it's hopefully never formally signed, other than like if you call that like a shtar kiddushin, I'm saying. But typically, we don't have a, you know, it's a formal, but implicit in the marriage. It's like a marriage contract. You know, I know I'm going to come home right now and I'm going to cook the chicken. I know I'm going to do that. That's part of, did we ever formally sign on the dotted line? Like that is the expectation? Like, no. But there are different things that develop in a marriage, and you speak about to be able to have different things that you do. If I'm doing a terrible job in my marriage, my wife says to me, you know, in nicer terms, but like, you're doing a terrible job. Like, what about X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D, E, F? You know, that's what you go through. So at some point, hearing it once that you're not doing as great, once sometimes, okay, I got to fix, I got to do what I can do. At some point, if you just are overwhelmed with like the negative feedback, you just check out. You just check out, because if I'm just not able to do it, and I'm just not able to meet certain standards, and I just can't accomplish certain things, so at some point you turn around and you say, I just can't do these things, and like I just give up a little bit. So that's a challenge which can happen in different areas to be aware of. Where do we see, and where does it stem from? Where does our self-worth stem from? Where does it come from? Where does it come from? So there is a very famous comment of Reb Tzadok and Tikkun HaTzadik. I don't know what to do with source number 11. Source number 11, I don't know what to do with it. We're going to read Reb Tzadok. We're reading Reb Wolbe. I don't know what to do with it because I don't even know how it squares with Reb Wolbe's Torah. I am misunderstanding something greatly. That's all I'm saying. I am misunderstanding something. Reb Wolbe has a letter. After he passed away, they came out. They come out with like more letters. It was like a small countries of letters of Reb Wolbe. So he says, Aval kol yom beiz vehei, every like Monday and Thursday, ba'amalai bachar, mis onanim she'ein lam bitachon atzmi. People come and they tell me I don't have self-confidence. Va'ani shoel osam. This is like just the response that I would have. Evozet katuv b'torah satzrichem bitachon atzmi. V'chizet davar tov. Like, who says that that's good? You know, if someone comes over, like, I'm not enjoying learning. Okay. No, but there's nothing wrong with that. Why? No, but like, I'm not feeling it. Okay. Who's going to feel it? Where's the mucker that you have to feel it? The mucker is to put on tefillin. There's no mucker that you have to, like, you know, experience a spiritual high when you put on tefillin. So when you bring on tefillin, you can't do, you know, it's also to do certain dvarim that are bizyonistic. But who says that? Who says, where do I find it? I don't know what's there. Bitzvarim matzas, they've only found in tzvarim, rak bitachon b'Hashem yisvarach, shuvecharechis. To believe in God. You have to, like, trust in your, believe in yourself. Rak bitzik tzadik, Reb Tzadok has a line like that. But even Reb Tzadok is shown in legamri mizesh al psychologiam. It's so different when psychologists talk about. I don't want to do with that. Reb Wolbe speaks a lot about self-worth and self-value. He might be speaking about something else, defining a different term, which is bitachon atzmi. But Reb Tzadok, well, let's learn Reb Tzadok. It's a very famous Reb Tzadok. It's one that I'm very, very fond of. And it's one that we have to, I think we actually have to read beyond the first sentence. The first sentence is very powerful, but it's more accurate and I think actually more meaningful if you keep on reading. Kishem tzarech adam l'ha'amin v'Hashem yisbarach, says Reb Tzadok. Just like you have to believe in Hashem yisbarach. Kach tzarech achar kach l'ha'amin v'atzmo. After that, you have to believe in yourself. Rotze lomar, what does that mean? By the way, look at the order of things. You first believe in Hashem, but after you believe in Hashem, that is what gives you the capacity. Then you start believing in self. That already, Tzadok is telling us an important Torah, which is one of the places that my self-worth, my self-confidence can come from, is from an emunah in Ribbono Sha'olam. If I believe in Hashem, and I know Hashem created me in a unique and special way, it's not random, so then I know I matter much more. Rotze lomar sheish Hashem yisparach esek imo. I love that line. Hashem, like, he cares. Like, he cares. V'she'enu poel batel sheben laila hayo ven laila avad. You're not a nothing. Not an another worker that no one really cares about. You know, it's like, I always wonder what it feels like. Maybe this is just me, but I think not. I think not. This is actually, Shai's probably going to relate to this like, observation. Trump made a speech this week. So whenever the president speaks, there's like that chevra that stands like around him, you know, like around him. So the goal is to get the most chashuv people you can find to stand around you that are somewhat relevant to what you're doing. You have a guy that's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. You know, this is like a really chashuv guy whose job is to stand behind a president he either does or does not respect. We can all guess. And he is sitting there just like, he knows like the cameras are on him. And he's just like, in my mind, like he's a poel batel. Like he's nothing. he's just there because someone has to be there, and like you have to look like, you know, you have to have a certain kind of look. It's not like their jobs. That's even the job that really matters. Not standing behind Trump. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. I'm saying, but that's not the job that really. The jobs that don't matter that much. And you can feel like you work for a boss sometimes, and all you are is like a body. Why am I here? Well, I need a body. Anybody, you even like really bad bosses can even have a line that new. I need a body. Can anyone help me? I can camp sometimes. And you're like, thank you. We've now summed up my worth, you know, in a word, and it's not good, you know, like. You are correct. I physically am currently present. Emotionally, you're destroying me day after day, but physically, on some level, I'm present. So no, Kadosh Baruch Hu cares about us. Kadosh Baruch Hu cares about us. Rak tzarech lehamin. So what gives me this faith? What gives me this ability to know this? Ki nafsho mi mekor ha-chayim yisbarach shemo. V'ashem yisbarach mis'aning u'mishtasheya bo kisosh v'tzono. We have within us something from Ribono Sha'olam. We have an neshama within us. That empowers us, and that's something which we have to be able to know. He thinks that's part of the problem of Chet HaEgel, part of the problem of Bnei Yisrael on some level comes from not sufficiently recognizing and not sufficiently being aware of the fact of what we really offer. So for Tzadok, it's not just I have to say B'Shvil Nivra Olam Yosef Dika Ana, but the next layer is where does it come from? It comes from a first when you have a Emunah Hashem. Say it a little bit differently. If you really have Emunah Hashem, you have to also have self-confidence. Because if you believe in Ribbono Shel Olam, it means Ribbono Shel Olam created me. It means I have skills and I have things I could do to be able to really get there. For Nefesh HaChaim and even for Baal Shem also, there's an additional layer here also, which isn't just about, as the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, my unique capability, isn't just the fact that I have a Neshama that comes from Ribbono Shel Olam, but this is what's implicit in having a Tzelem Elokim. Tzelem Elokim we reference all the time, a variety of machlokot and what it means to have Tzelem Elokim. Meshachachma refers to Bechir Chavshes, the Ram Mordevuchim. It refers to free choice. It refers to man's intellectual capacity. Salvatic speaks about man's creative capacity as part of Talmud Elokim. We can create a God. And the Nefesh HaChaim is a very well-known Mahalach and a very powerful one, a very, very powerful one. Said Nefesh HaChaim, what is Talmud Elokim? Elokim, the word Elokim, Elokeinu, is Hashem Yisbarach, is Baal Kochos Kulam. God can do lots of things. What does it mean to have Tzelem Elokim? It doesn't mean that we look like the Ribbono Shel Olam. We don't believe that God is a body. What we do think is that Tzelem Elokim means the same way Elokim, God, Elokeinu, can create, can do things, so too we can do things. We are like, as Nefesh HaChaim writes, and Baal Shem also, a Sulam Mutzav Arza, Rosh Magi HaShemayim was referenced sometimes, that we are rooted in this world, but what we do reverberates in the upper worlds. That what we do really, that's part of the way we're created. Part of the koach of our neshama and our Tzelem Elokim is that that which we do matters. And that which we do has impact. It has impact on upper worlds. That's an amazing pshat Nefesh HaChaim in the Mishnah Avos in Perek Beis. Da ma lema'ala mimcha. Know that which is above you. What's a simple pshat of da ma lema'ala mimcha? Know that there's Hashem Yisbarach on top. Says Nefesh HaChaim, rotze lo mincha chayinayim hanora manas mimasecha. When you do things happen up there. So I can't see what happens. I don't know that when I'm learning Torah, there are amazing things happening. There's a chayim in upper worlds. I don't know that. But, da ma lemala mimcha, know that when you do things, what is happening up there? That when you are mekayim Torah mitzvos, that what you are doing really, really matters. That what you do at hakol mimchahu, al pi ma'asecha la'anotim. Your actions reverberate, your actions do an enormous amount. We've spoken about two things thus far. I want to go to step number three here. Again, a bit of a different style as far as just one mahalach. Last week was three mahalachim on Anava. This is one strong mahalach by knowing self, appreciating what you can do and who you are. Mishnah Sanhedrin, Gemara and Sota, two primary makoros, Bishvili Nivra Olam on the one hand, and number two, Misha Meis, Rebbe, Batla Anava, Yosef, no. Di'ika Ana, we're entirely good to go. And we spoke a little bit about where it comes from as far as man's Tzelem Elokim. Tzadok, it stems from a belief that Hashem Yisbarach gives us a neshama. It stems from there. How does a person cultivate this? How do you cultivate a greater sense or a greater appreciation for what you do, especially because, as Nefesh HaChaim says, da malam malam mcha, I can't always see the how my actions reverberate. Even in this world, I don't know if when I had this conversation with a friend who's having a hard time, whether it's helping him or whether it's hurting him. It's like I have this great fear. It's very hard. This is part of the challenge that we'll speak about probably on Sunday. When you know someone who is sitting Shiva, and you're going to make a phone call instead of being live. When you're live, you can see and read expressions. And you can see when you talk how the person responds. When you are communicating with someone on the phone and it's a real meaningful conversation, and you don't have that. You don't have that. So sometimes it becomes like very hard when you don't get any feedback and it's not clear how your actions revert. So I don't know, but imagine, like, how would I feel if every time I did something and it ended up like helping someone, if I got feedback? And how would I feel if every time I did something and it hurt someone, I got feedback? So the answer is hopefully, you know, net, I would feel good. But in general, definitely as far as appreciating the value of what we do, it'd be very different. So one of the challenges is I can't see for Tzadok, the neshama within me, I can't see it. For Nesh Chaim, I don't see the Tzelem Elokim and it really happening. And sometimes I would even say, in Lamed Sanhedrin, I don't always appreciate how my unique skill set matters. Appreciate how I have particular skills and why that's really going to matter. So what do you do? I want to note two or three mahalchim. People that really suffer with this, it's important to go to therapy and to explore it in that sense. But two or three ideas, which I think, at least from the Makoros and from the history of Klal Yisrael, I find to be intriguing. Point number one. The Mishnah Hedron says something amazing. It isn't telling us just Kol Echad Ve'Echad is really special and everyone's an Olam Malay and everyone's unique. It could have said that. But it says Lefichach. Lefichach what? Lefichach Chayav Lomar Bishvili Nivra HaOlam. Crazy as it is, the way that we talk impacts our attitude. And the Mishnah seems to say you have to at times be able to articulate Bishvili Nivra HaOlam. Kol Echad Ve'Echad Chayav Lomar Bishvili Nivra HaOlam. To say it sometimes. Okay, so we got to find the socially appropriate context in which you're going to say it. I got it. You say it to yourself sometimes. You say it to yourself sometimes. Like, just to appreciate, like, maybe I matter. It doesn't have to be the words Bishvili Nivra HaOlam. It could be what's behind Bishvili Nivra HaOlam. A person could say, you know what? It could be in conversation with a mentor, with a friend, with family. He would say, I recognize that I have certain skills. I have certain skills. Okay, so the reality is, I'll formulate like this. There is someone better than me at everything that I do. There is. That's a reality. There is someone better than me at every field of Torah that I learn. There is someone, I'm sure, who is a better husband, a better father, a better employee. I'm sure there are people, I have no doubt there are people who are better Rebbeim. I'm sure many of you are probably like, you know? There's a, maybe now we've gone past the first step, but now we're ready, you know? We've passed denial. There are people who are better than you at every, there are people that, I'm never the best ball player of now. I'm, you know, number whatever in this room. You know what I'm saying? You're never going to be the best. Not the funniest, not the smartest, not the... What makes us unique, and again, because sometimes we can feel that, what makes us unique is our unique, the combination of skills we have, the experiences that we've had with those skills, and the positions that we are in. So it is true, that someone is better than me at everything. But with all of my skill sets and with all of my experiences and with the people that I'm around, I have a unique role. And I have to articulate that. Bishvili Nivra HaOlam. The Ribbono Shel Olam creates everyone as being unique. That's the first Eitzah. To articulate sometimes, Bishvili Nivra HaOlam. I matter. I have a unique skill set. There are things I do. Now, Derech Agav, it's not bad to check with people sometimes whether that skill set that you believe you have is actually in line with the reality. That's what good mentors, rebbeim, parents, friends are really all there to be able to help you with. Not in a rude or dismissive way, but the guy that says, you know, I know what I'm supposed to, you know, what I'm supposed to do with my life. I'm like, what? He's like, Gadol Hador. And I'm like, very interesting. It's great to have high levels of ambition, but we want to begin by, like, you know, showing up to morning seder. That's probably our first step. You know, Gadol Hador, I believe you can get there, but, you know, like, it ain't happening under your cover 16 hours a day. I'm positive of that. You know, there's like that kind of like, you have to kind of contextualize it to appreciate it more. But we spoke about this in Chinuch, the Pizetzner. Good mechanchim can teach people how to be megala, that which is inside. To appreciate and reveal that which you do. There is a second mahalach, which is not altogether that different. We spoke about it years ago in an Elul Shir, and we'll just elaborate on it a bit now, which is a mahalach of Slavatka, of Godless HaAdam. But I want to speak about one element of Slavatka. Aside from speaking about it, they lived lives where they were clearly, like, respecting themselves. The way they dressed nicely in Slavatka. That sometimes, as Sefer Chinuch writes, in Acharya Pa'ulos, Nimshachos HaLevavos, that the actions we have impact us. So it's important that we have the kinds of actions that will allow us to feel better and to feel like we're someone that's worth a little bit more. So I wake up in the morning, I put this sweater on, I feel a little bit better than if I put on one of my Shal Vim sweatshirts from 14 years ago, you know, that like has like a little bit of like an odor to it maybe. I don't know how, but it's what happens. And you know, it doesn't give over that same kind of a feeling. If I walk in, I don't have to wear a suit every day, but I have to wear the kinds of clothing that make me feel like I'm a person that matters. Not in a weird way or an off way. I'm talking about the guy that shows up to Tuesday Mincha in a tuxedo because, like, you know, de'ika ana, you know, like that kind of an attitude. That's not what I'm referring to, although I do own a tuxedo, but I've not debated putting it on for Tuesday Mincha, although last night I was grabbing a coat when it was raining outside. I went for my sister-in-law's wedding last year. So I grabbed from the closet, it's black and I don't wear it that much. It has a bit of a different material, you know, like the side of it, it has like a little bit of a softer material. So I grabbed it on the way out in the rain. I grabbed it. It was like, this is not good, you know? So I went back and I switched it. But even, you know, I felt chashuv at that moment, you know? Nothing felt like I was going to walk in, I'm going to wear a tuxedo jacket, you know? And like, and wow, am I going to feel godless, ha adam. So all inuch nami, you'll all make fun of me behind my back. And most of you probably even to my face. And I actually probably even deserve it. But there's something there, achayapulos, nimshachos, halavavos, there's something very powerful about holding yourself to certain standards in the way that you behave and the way that you dress and the way that you take care of yourself and the way that you talk. That sometimes one of the ways that we can experience a feeling like we matter is sometimes by acting a little bit like maybe we matter. And it formulates, you know, a little bit differently. If I would stay in my bed all day, if I lie around my house just in sweatpants and a t-shirt for 3 weeks in a row, so I don't know, but I would imagine at the end of those 3 weeks, I wouldn't say, like, I am an Adam Chashev, you know? So you don't have to feel to walk around ever saying you're an Adam Chashev, but you want to feel like you're a person that at least it matters. It matters, and it's a very different experience when you're able to have that. So again, we spoke about in the last week, three Mehalchim and Anava, you're worth nothing. It's me versus others, me versus Hashem, three Mehalchim and Anava. This is what I'm speaking about. The flip side of that is being able to appreciate things in a very healthy and very real way. I'll end with just a brief comment. They say about Psichobanam Pshischa that Psichobanam Pshischa said every Jew is chayav. He did not mean literally a formal halakhic obligation. But every Jew should have two pieces of paper in his pocket, one in one hand and the other, one saying Bishvili Nivra Olam, one saying Vanochi Afar Ve'efer, I'm worth nothing, I'm worth a whole lot. There's enormous chachma in that. There's enormous chachma in that. We don't want to be a person that walks around with the banner of Vishvili Nivra Olam or Emani Kan HaKol Kan in every experience that you're ever at. But you also don't want to be a person that's been Anochi Afar Ve'efer. We spoke about it last time, we spoke about this time. They're not mutually exclusive at all, Adarabba. They are two sides of the same coin. And effective people know how to do both. Successful people know how to do both. How to strike the balance on the one hand, between feeling like I matter, but also recognizing the limits of what I can do. The limits of what I can do. When I can get those two things down well, I'm not a Baal Gaiva. I'm not in someone's face. I don't say Magili lots of things. I know how to say Anochi Afar Ve'efer. I know when to take a back seat. I know when to be more passive, to be more appreciative. But on the other hand, to be able to also know how to say Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, which Mizocha put these Yerim together in a way that allows us and strengthens not only our Avodas Hashem, but I would say even most importantly for now, our interactions with other people. Knowing how to, with other people, like the Ramban last week, how to listen to others and respect others, but also how to know and to feel empowered that what you do can help others. If we do that in a meaningful way, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we'll be able to be in a significantly better place. Shalom, guys. Have a great, great rest of your